Christian motherhood. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask His blessing. Father, thank You today for every one of our mothers. Thank You, oh God, for what they do. We know this morning that there are vast differences between one and another. We know that every one of them has their own way of doing things. And for that, we're thankful, Lord. But we do know that there's some great principles in the Word of God that teach them. And I pray as we look at some of these this morning, now, and in the hour to follow, that You might just speak to their hearts. Lord, I pray that many things will just be cemented in for them, that they might realize, hey, what I'm doing is right. And in other areas, Lord, that they need to shore up. God, I pray that You might bless in that. Lord, we pray that this might be a productive day for each and every mother, for each and every family. And, oh God, now as we study Your Word, make it very, very understandable and real to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, let me go a little bit farther in introduction, and that is this. Many of the verses we're going to look at today apply to fathers. And when it applies to fathers, Mama is right there as a backup. So I just want you to understand that I understand it says, ye fathers. Okay, we'll be looking at that in Ephesians 6:4. And so really, dads, we can't sit here and just take a nap today. It's really about parenthood in a great respect. Those who are grandparents, we didn't do everything right. Do you remember that? We made some mistakes, and we can see those things. And that doesn't mean now that because we made a few mistakes that we were off the hook. By the way, parenting never quits. And now we can say to our children, hey, this is something I did do wrong, but this is what God says to do right. Okay? And we can give instructions. So it's something that it's an ongoing process and an ongoing schooling for every one of us. I don't believe until we are graduated into heaven do we stop learning what God wants us to do. Amen? I don't believe that. Come on, say amen. I needed some help on that. We just need to keep on learning, keep on gaining. Sometimes we get to a spot in our life, we think, oh, I know it all. By the way, that's called pride. Okay? It's a very foolish spot to be in when we get to that particular spot. Being a mother is very important. And the Lord chooses, and this is an awesome statement, to give that to women. I believe there's a reason for that. Oh my, a Christian mother is told to love her children. And through that she do not bring reproach upon her Lord and Savior, whose name as a Christian she bears. Let me read to you Titus chapter 2, verse number 4 and 5. And also it says, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their children, their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Tremendous thoughts. We're not going to deal with all of those things. But we find here that the aged women, so here we have responsibility. Not only is this for women, but we also find that aged men have responsibility. And one of those is that they might teach younger women the home responsibilities. Is there an area for women in church? Definitely there is. Doctrinal teachings ought to come from the men. But life living skills ought to, for women, come from women. A lot of times we have women's conferences. My wife says it's just a great excuse for women to preach. And on some occasions that's probably true. But there is a time for women to be teaching women. Here are the things God wants them to teach. And the big emphasis there in this one, what? To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Because quite frankly, they can be all brats. How many women, your husband has two children and you have three? Or he has four and you have five? Okay. I hear that quite often, and you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Boys never really grow up. Our toys just get more expensive.
I love to play in the dirt when I was a kid, and I still do. Except I'd like to do it the way Chris Mock does it. Still get to play and get paid for it. And what's that? Sometimes. All right. Well, if you do a better job at it. I'm teasing him now because he's probably one of the best operators of, what do you call them things? Bobcat in the territory. You won the championship out at twice in a row. So, he knows how to handle that little piece of toy. All right. Anyways, God wants to use women in a special way, loving their husbands and loving their children. By the way, that word love means, in my mind, to what? Seek for the best for the loved one. Okay? So women are always putting somebody else ahead of them. Well, most of them anyways. Good mothers are. Several things we find from the Word of God that I believe God commands for women. Just to use some big words. First of all, availability. Availability. How many mothers know your job never ceases? I don't know if I've mentioned this in church. I have in school a couple of times. Some of our boys think it's wonderful. I read here a week or so ago in the Reader's Digest that women never stop thinking. Their minds are always going, always going, always going. But men can shut it off. We're sorry, ladies, that you can't do that. But we can shut it off. Women don't. Men can sit down and shut the kids off. I was going to say how many women have experienced that, but we better not do that survey this morning. We have one volunteer anyways. Men can do that. Women don't do that. It's just always there. They are that kind of an individual, but really God wants them. That's why He made you the way you do. Listen, a child could cry in the middle of the night and I never hear it. But my wife always heard them. How many women say, yes, I understand that. Okay, and, you know, they're just the way they are. They're made that way. And that is something that really I believe God wants. Listen to this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because it is so, I believe, appropriate for this time. It says in these words, verse 6 and 7, which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. By the way, that's for men as well. But women are especially astute to this because they have that kind of innate thing. They don't shut things off at times. But availability. And the biggest availability is what? Being ready to constantly give to your children that spiritual input. The opportunities that are there that we sometimes don't recognize. You know, your children, they're going to quarrel. It just happens. Even if you have one child, they're going to quarrel with somebody. Okay, it'll be a neighbor, it'll be somebody, it might be the dog, it might be the cat, but they have that kind of nature. And so we have the opportunity to train them to go in the right direction, to show them the things of God and how we ought to submit ourselves to God. Okay, but we ought to be available for that training at all times. There are so many instances that are available to us. Number two, not only available, but involvement. When I say involvement, we're talking about interacting, discussing things with our children, thinking about things, processing life together. I can remember my own mother. She was not what I would necessarily call godly. She was not ungodly. But in those days, I'm not really sure she knew the Lord as her Savior. But I want to tell you this. It was from many of those conversations that she placed thoughts about God into my head. I really must credit her with that basis. There were a few things I must admit were doctrinally unsound, but at the same time, she put a basis there that was made me ready for the hearing of the gospel. There were things that she told me that I remember to this day.
things about women even, things about life, and just as, you know, we'd be sitting and talking about something or something would happen and would discuss those things with them. She got involved in those things. By the way, involvement is more than going to their football game or their basketball game or their baseball game and watch them play. I will tell you this, my parents never ever saw me one time play any sport. That was something that most parents of that time never did. At least mine didn't. I never felt left out because of it, because they were very much involved in my life. And we talked about many different things and knew where it was at. Listen to this in Ephesians 6:4, a verse I'm thinking about with this, and it uses the word fathers to start with. Provoke not your children to wrath, but listen, as it bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're going to talk about that word nurture in a little while, which means to nourish them. But we need to be involved in their life. Nourish them spiritually as well as physically as well as emotionally. You know, we have a lot of adults who are an emotional mess because they did not have stability in the home. By the way, this is going to get worse. It is amazing to go up to the hospital. I've been there on many different occasions visiting somebody who is in the psych ward. They are loaded with teenagers. That's what most of them are. And it's an amazing thing because in most of those cases, there's not a daddy around and mom was too interested in her party life. Jeff used to be out every Saturday and Sunday delivering. He did drops for the World Herald. And what time were you out? About 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. You could probably ask Christy and Dom the same thing. Especially in the summer months, you'd be surprised the number of 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders who are running the streets at that time of the morning. And sometimes in gangs, just big bunches of them. You've been seeing them lately, Christy. You've been out. Jeff hasn't been doing that. Do you see them still? What's that? And it's incredible. That's just the ones you happen to run into. A boy and a girl. How old do you think they were? About 12 years old. And this is horrendous throughout our area. Parents not involved in their children's lives. A third thing that I would mention in Christian motherhood is teaching. We've been talking about that, but specifically I'm thinking about teaching them the Scriptures and having a proper view of the world. I don't know if you've heard that term before, but it's a very important term, and that is a child's world view. How does he view the world? There is two basic kinds of world views. I should say three. One is theistic. That's the way we ought to. That's through God's eyes, seeing it from a biblical standpoint. There is also atheistic. And you know what that means. Okay? I received an email this week. I have no idea how true it is because some emails you don't know. But a judge in Georgia, there was a guy came. He was suing because he was very unhappy because Christians had the holiday of Christmas and Easter and the atheists didn't have any holidays. And he said, oh, yes, they do. And he said they got April 1st. And the other guy, he's the lawyer, he said, what do you mean April 1st? He said, well, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God and that is their day. Case dismissed. It'd have to be from Georgia, wouldn't it? What's that? Works for us. Yeah. Anyways, what was I saying? Worldview. There's theistic, there's atheistic. Of course, that is a view of the world without God. That is the basic view that our children are getting from their homes and our schools. April this week told me one of the biggest problems we're beginning to face in our church with our girls is not boys liking them. Girls liking each other. And she's been dealing with this. One was so vehement in this, I said, you cannot come until this thing's changed. But it's a problem we are facing today. What do we need to do? We need to teach them the right view of the world. There's also another one that you may not be familiar with called animist. And it's basically a view from the demon side of things. It's one that many American Indians are involved with. Many cultures like India and parts of China and different places where it's where they are serving many other gods. So those are three basic worldviews. What do we need? We need to teach them to see things as God sees them. And again, that's something I appreciate in my growing up years. The Bible tells us, Psalm 78 verse 5 says, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children. So there must be the teaching of Scripture and having that proper worldview. By the way, do you understand that the theory of evolution and the teaching of evolution and the acceptance of evolution puts you in the atheistic worldview? Because it's excluding God. It becomes very, very critical. Training is another word that we use. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Helping a child to develop their skills, train up in the way he should go. Helping them to discover their strengths, to know what their weaknesses are, where they need help from God at in their lives. And all those kinds of things. Helping them to discover, especially after they're saved, the spiritual gifts that God has given to them. God has gifted His people. The problem with that is a lot of times we don't even know our own. But how we need to help our children in those kinds of areas. And very likely God will use those particular skills, those particular aptitudes, if you please, those gifts in their lives as far as what God wants them to do. Okay? By the way, here's one. When you're teaching and training your children, We tend to, in America, to want to train our children to grow up to make a good living. We need to train our children to grow up to live good. It doesn't matter what they do so much as that they do it in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You know, some folks want their children to do well financially. And they want them to have it better than them. Perhaps God doesn't. Perhaps God has something different for them. Perhaps being very poor may be the best route for them. We don't know these things. Perhaps not having very much is what God wants to do in their life. So it's a matter of let's help them understand we're seeking God's will. Okay? And too often, what do? We tend to look at rich people and all their finances and say, boy, that is success. And some of those folks are the most unhappy, miserable people in the world. Success is being in the center of God's will. That's what we need to teach. And that's what we need to help them to understand as they're growing up. Okay? Discipline, a big word. We could spend all morning there. Teaching the fear of the Lord. Listen to this. Drawing the line consistently, lovingly, and we'll use the word firmly. I know Christian mothers who love their children exceedingly, but don't stop them from doing anything. Because they're afraid they might hurt their little feelings. Mamas, daddies, you better be afraid if you don't hurt their feelings, especially this padded area on the backside. He that spareth his rod, listen to this word, hateth his son. He that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. That word betimes means early. You say in the morning, in their life. I do not know the truth of this statement. My mother used to tell me that the Catholic Church said, give me your young people till they're 7 years old and we've got them for life. Is that a true statement? I just read the statement the other day and it was applied not to them but something else. Basically to parenthood. And I thought, you know, there's something very, very true there. And we need to start early. What happens many times, and this is very difficult as a grandparent, as a great-grandparent, when I look and I see this in different families, and they got a child that's 2 years old and they've done something very bratty. And say, oh, isn't that cute? It might be cute, but the child needs to know it's wrong. Okay. By the way, I have seen them look with something clicking in their mind. I have seen it 10 years later when it was no longer cute. But the parent had trained them by not taking care of the situation. He that spareth his rod, chasten thy son, it says, while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. And I will say this, and no offense, ladies, but especially to mamas. And a lot of times mamas will they will say, just wait till daddy gets home. Well, that is good, but mama, you need to take care of it too. I especially appreciate my wife in this area. She didn't back off. I remember discussing one time when the boys were getting up in years. I mean, not like they were old, but I mean they were in their early and mid-teens, and they were beginning to tower over her. And she said to me, I will never let them think they're tougher than me. Now, what is sad is in some cases, mama doesn't have backing. She also knew that I would back her up on that, but I don't believe that had made a difference. Okay? It's very, very important that we have that particular area early, make sure we're consistent with it. If it's wrong this time, it's wrong next time. Withhold not correction from the child. Listen to this. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. All I can say is, hope you don't have to take him to the doctor the next day. We live in that kind of day. You say, boy, it always happens in public. There's always places you can take them. That's what a changing table is for in the bathroom. Lay that child up there and beat him. No, I'm just teasing. Well, maybe not. That word beat is simply, it's not what it might be conjured up in some minds. We're not talking about child abuse. By the way, a child who is left to himself and does not get disciplined, I believe that is child abuse. Okay? But proper discipline. You say, well, I don't believe in hitting my kids. I'm sorry. That's what this is talking about. God, I believe, made a place for that. I knew one preacher one time says, whatever place offends, that's what ought to get hit. And so if they mouthed off, they ought to slap them. I don't agree with that. But I'd rather see that than nothing. But here's the thing. If we do things properly, not in anger, but out of love. Okay, I had a lady one time said, Didn't it hurt you more to spank your kids than them? No. It really didn't. Because I wasn't doing it to them. I was doing it for them. Okay? I must admit, there were times I was angry when I did it, but what needs to be done is cool down and then do so. Because you can do it out of love. Okay? And here's a process I learned. From what I understand, it came from Suzanne Wesley. You tell them what their offense is. By the way, sometimes when they're little, you need them to repeat that so that you know they understand what it is. Then you give them their licking or whatever you want to call it. And, it doesn't have to be hard, but something that stings. Because that tells them sin hurts. And then afterwards, you make sure they understand, and then you love them. Okay? I want to tell you something. Whenever I did that, the hugs were especially good. And there were a few times that I had, "Thank you, Daddy." Believe it or not. All I can say in this area, talk to Jeff. He's the one that received the most. The other one was Christy. See her. Though Jeff believes she should have had a whole lot more than she had. He was probably right. The Bible says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Tremendous verses, all in the book of Proverbs. There are 7 or 8 of them that really give us some great principles. It'd be good for you to look those up and see what God says. Nurture. What are we to do? One of those areas is nurture. What does that mean? Nourish. We mentioned that a while ago. Providing an environment of constant verbal support. By the way, freedom to fail. Acceptance to your child. Do you realize some parents, because their children are not perfect, they reject them? They are constantly told they are not good enough because they're not perfect. And it brings scars that last long, long, long time. And how we need to accept them for what they are. Do they have their faults and areas? And yes, they do. That's what we're seeking to try to train. But we don't reject them for it. We accept them. It's unconditional love. Amen? Unconditional. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. A great verse to really put in context with this type of a thing in our lives. And one last really good thought. I didn't make this one up at all. Wish I could have. Modeling with integrity. Modeling with integrity. Living what you say. Being a model for your child, that they might learn by catching the essence of godly living. If you're a phony, they will know it. They will pick up on it. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." It is very, very important that we take that time to keep our hearts in tune with God. And that we are walking with Him. Very, very important. Here's the problem of motherhood. Going back to the very first statement, availability, there are times that it seems like you're literally running yourself ragged. From the time you wake to the time you sleep. But you must somehow, and though it may not be as scheduled as you would like, but you must somehow schedule into your day that time with God. It is critical to motherhood. Dads, it's critical to fatherhood. Because they will learn to walk the way we walk. Okay? How we do that? We've got to what walk with God ourselves. The Bible never states that every woman should be a mother. However, it does say that those whom the Lord blesses to be mothers should take the responsibilities very seriously. I believe you have a critical and a very unique role in the lives of your children. I believe it ought not be a chore nor an unpleasant task, but something that you can do with joy. And when we fulfill the responsibilities the way God wants us to, God gives some great and wonderful blessings. Your role, by the way, as a mother will change. It does through the years. I remember when I was ready to leave home, my mother had had children in her house for 40 years. She'd been a mother with a child in the house for 40 years. She had a tremendously difficult time letting me go. And made it very difficult for me on a few occasions. Now, God was good, and what God did at that time was I got saved. And in 1 month after we were married, we moved 750 miles away. And it forced my mother to have to let go. Or I would have probably been a married mother's boy. So I'm thankful for myself and for her. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for those whom you put in our lives. I thank you for my mother. Lord, those many, many things that she did over and over. Lord, I pray that you might bless our ladies. Some with wee little ones. Some who are grandmothers and great-grandmothers. But Lord, the job is never done until we're called home. I pray you will bless them. Encourage them in the great task they have. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.